Welcome everyone to our New Jersey campus midweek. It is exciting to be together. It's good to see you all. I just got back about 3 hours ago from the beautiful Adirondacks. I know if some of you saw the pictures, Matt Rupert and I were able to be up with our New York men's staff retreat that we do every year. And I got to do a beautiful hike in my shorts and t-shirt up the mountain. Some of you guys see those pictures? It was a good time. It was a good time together. I hope you're all doing well. I'm looking forward to our time together tonight to close out our book of Acts. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. How many of you still have finals left to finish? The few, the faithful. You're sticking it out to the very end. Even when all others have stopped sooner. I know it's not up to you, though. It's up to them. Not up to them. It's up to the teachers. But I'm looking forward. Tonight is our last sermon from the book of Acts. Wow. We've been studying, not ever, but just for this series. We'll go back to the book of Acts, I'm sure. But we've had this incredible two semesters studying out an amazing 28 chapters of the Bible, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's been incredible. I've loved it. I hope that you've loved it. And I'm looking forward to covering Acts chapter 28, verse 17, to the end of the book together tonight. It's definitely been a great semester, great school year. I think if you were to just even go on our Facebook and look at our albums, that let's give it up for Daryl, our photographer here, and everything else. We've had a lot of fun together. Hasn't it been a fun school year? I mean, you think every single Friday, every week, we're getting together, rejoicing together, building friendships with each other, having a blast. It has been an awesome semester. This school year, we've seen about 11 people become disciples of Jesus. And that's been a huge victory. You know, we still have a little bit left to go. I'm so excited this Friday night, we get to have our own New Jersey campus end of the semester party together. We'll get to have some fun, get some new yearbooks, I'm excited about that, and have a good time together. Then I know many people are going back home. I know a lot of people are going away to serve in different places or going back home for the summer. And I definitely want to encourage you guys to really do a great job staying in touch with one another over the summer. And you know, one of the things I'm excited about is for those of us that do this New Testament reading plan together. And, you know, starting May 22nd, we'll read through the whole New Testament in 3 months, whoever wants to participate in that. I'm excited about that. I'll be sending that out. That's a great way to stay connected with whoever's back home. But even aside from that, just phone calls, hangouts, communication, texting, calling, praying on the phone together, really staying connected and unified, even though we'll be all over the place for the summer. It's going to be a blast. You know, I do want to lift up Mark Persing. He's going to be the director for the camp all summer. Isn't that awesome? So Mark is going to be Camp Hope for Kids director, and I know many of you are going to be there over the summer serving at teen camp and in Hope for Kids Leadership Academy. We have our own campus training program going on here in New York over the summer, and we've got 41 people participating in that from across New York. 20 of them are from our New Jersey campus ministry right here. So that's very exciting. It's going to be a fun summer. Make sure, for anyone going back home, though, that you connect. Maybe some people, I know Brent and JD already went back up to Westchester. Some people, this might be your last time. Friday might be your last time. And or maybe it's next week. But definitely connect as you know, the summer is beginning. We will all obviously see each other at ICMC, so that's going to be awesome. The bus, you know, will be $25, and let me know if you're going to be riding on that. I assume most will. And just register as soon as you can. You know, get on icmcs.com, get registered. That's going to be amazing. So, in the fall, we studied out Acts chapter 1 to 12. This semester has been 13 to 28. At the end of last semester, we had some time to quiz how it went. We're not going to do that again. However, it would be good for you to think about how familiar am I with the book of Acts? What have I learned? And I'm excited in a little while here to have some time to share. How has studying the book of Acts impacted you? What's something you've learned, been challenged in, changed, grown in, something that's inspired you, a new conviction that you have, something that looking at the first century church has done to your life, to your discipleship. So we'll be doing that in a little while, and I'm excited about that. Thank you, those of you that thought ahead of time of something that you would want to share. But the book of Acts is long, and it's been incredible. You know, Jesus comes down to earth, lives his life, dies on the cross, and then the book of Acts picks up from there. He resurrects, he spends some time teaching his disciples, and then he ascends, telling them, just wait until I send power, and then you can bring the gospel to the entire world. Right. They're waiting, they're praying, and in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes. And on that first day, they're able to preach to thousands in Jerusalem and baptize 3,000 people. And the church begins. And all throughout the book of Acts, we see the church going out, preaching the word, spreading the gospel, living righteously, and we see the world fighting back. And then time after time, we see God's kingdom have the victory. Amen? And it's been awesome just to see such amazing examples of faith, of zeal, of inspiration, of men and women all throughout the book of Acts that have really led the way for us to show us what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so our theme has been the way, because Jesus was the way. And in the book of Acts, the first century church followed Jesus so closely that the name that was given them was the way, the followers of the way. And the people that followed Jesus were so closely associated with Jesus because of how closely they followed him. And so that's been our vision, our drive, our goal this school year has been help us to become the way, help us to become close followers of Jesus. People who follow Jesus so closely, just like our brothers and sisters in the book of Acts did. And I do think that we've grown in that a lot, that we have grown in following Jesus closer than ever before. And I'm very excited to see where that takes us. I know one of the things that inspired me a lot was connecting with, you know, the first century church is not a separate church than what we're part of. Right. It's not them and us. It's all us. It's all Jesus's body that we get to be part of today as well. And it has been exciting to see God use us as his body. And so the book of Acts has been incredible. You know, the past semester, we've really been looking at the second half of it as Paul became a disciple and really spearheaded the mission to the Gentiles, and there's churches being planted all over the world. And last week we had Matt do an amazing sermon on being anchored. And we got to read the incredible story of Paul just being on these different ships, going from lee to port, and on his way to Rome. And so in Acts chapter 28, which you could turn to, we're going to look at how the book of Acts ends. You know, so Paul's preaching the gospel, and as typically would happen, he faced some opposition, right? Right? Paul faced some opposition, and he thought he was going to die. And so when he thought he was going to die and be killed, he did the one thing that he knew could get him out of it and postpone it. He said, I appeal to Caesar. And he was in the Roman court. He said, I appeal to Caesar, which means you can't just do away with me because I'm a Roman citizen. I want to sit in Caesar's court. And then the final decision be made there. And so the long process begins of getting Paul to go before Caesar. And on the way, he stands trial before a few other Roman leaders, Festus, Felix, King Agrippa, right? And then King Agrippa sends him on to Caesar. And so Paul is on his way to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. You gotta understand, Caesar's in every way the most powerful world leader at the time. I mean, the Roman Empire was the most powerful nation, and Paul is going to stand trial before this man. And so Paul is on his way, and that's why he's on the ship with all these Roman guards. You know, they have him under arrest, taking him to Rome, and they have to take all these different ports to get from this ship to this one, and this one to this one. And finally, they arrive there. And so in Acts chapter 28, we'll start in verse 17. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 28, verse 17. So they finally arrived there. It says, 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking about this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said, through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." You know, so Paul arrives in Rome, and he's waiting to stand before trial, and so he winds up under house arrest. And so Paul is under house arrest, which means he's got a guard watching over him, a place to stay, and he can't leave there. He has to stay within a certain vicinity. So he's under house arrest, and he calls together this group of Jews to explain to them, "Look, it's you guys, the Jews, that are the ones wanting me dead back in Judea. And I just wanted to make it clear to you that I've said nothing against the Jews, that I've preached nothing." And they're like, "Look, we haven't even heard any report about you. So we'll just listen to what you have to say then." And then Paul goes ahead and it says from morning till evening, he preaches about the kingdom of God, about Jesus to them, from the law of Moses, from the prophets. And it says some were convinced and believed, but others would not believe. And then he goes on to quote this passage from Isaiah about them. You know, obviously most of us in this room have become convinced. And we've decided to become disciples of Jesus. Some in here have not been convinced enough yet and still need to become disciples of Jesus. But whether you're a disciple or not, I do think that this passage from Isaiah deems all of us to take some time to reflect to make sure that we're still the ones that are listening. At one point in time, you listened to the Word of God. At one point in time, you were convinced. Are you still convinced? Are you still listening to the Word of God like you did at first? You know, the title of my lesson tonight, although short, and then we'll do some sharing, is "Listen to the Word Without Hindrance." Listen without hindrance. Now, we should let nothing stop us from listening, hearing, obeying, following, perceiving, understanding, grasping the Word of God. Nothing should stand in our way of following the words of God, the truth, what we've learned, what we see in the Bible. And so what does it say? It says, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding." You know, as disciples, we hear the Bible a lot, don't we? You hear the Bible every day. You know, hopefully you have your quiet time every day. You open the Word, you read something. And then you go to your discipling time and some scripture is read. You go to Bible talk, there's a scripture read. You come to midweek every Wednesday, there's some scriptures preached. You know, some Fridays we have devos with scriptures. You know, you go to church Sunday, there's communion, scripture. There's, you know, sometimes welcomes have scriptures in them. You've got the sermon with scriptures, right? I mean, there's so many times, maybe phone calls, encouraging one another. There's scriptures being used, right? We're ever hearing, right? We're ever hearing the scriptures, but we need to make sure that we're also always understanding. Amen. That we're not just hearing it, but we're really taking it in. We're taking what we're hearing and we're going, what does this say? What does this mean? How does this apply to me? Where's my heart at with this? Where's my mind at with this? Where's my life at with this? You know, that we don't let the Word of God go in one ear and out the other. But it goes in the ear and it stays inside of our hearts, right? It goes in the ear and then it stays inside of our minds and then it comes out, not the other ear, but it comes out in the way that we live and who we are. That we're people who are ever hearing and always understanding. God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to show me? Who are you? You know, God, help me understand who you are better from this passage, and that we're growing in our understanding of him as well. And it says, you will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. You know, I was really inspired by a lesson by Jim Brown up at this men's staff retreat that we had. And he was talking about just stopping and appreciating that God is good and that everything God created is good, and to be a reflection of his goodness and of who he is. And he's talking about the things we experience. Like, you know, he's talking about the taste of bacon or the smell of bacon, and of biting into a juicy mango or apple, you know, and of seeing the sunset. And, you know, I was out in the Adirondacks just looking at the mountain and the snow-topped trees and these rivers. And, you know, we see a lot of amazing things. You know, we experience a lot of great stuff. You know, and even as disciples, we see miracles. We see God use other people. We see God work in our lives. We see God do incredible things around us. But as we see those things, we got to make sure we're not just seeing them, but we're perceiving. Yeah. We're seeing who's the one behind this. You know, who's the creator, the designer behind these things that are beautiful and amazing, that taste good, smell good, sound good, right? You know, who's the worker behind the fact that I just pulled off an A in this spot, in this class, right? You know, who's the one that we're not just seeing great things happen, but we're seeing beyond them that God is beyond that, right? That we're people who, when we hear the word of God and we see it lived out, we're perceiving this is from God. You know, as disciples, we face challenges, but because we're following the word of God, things often turn out better for us than they would have if we were not disciples, because we're living more wisely. God is guiding us. Now, it would be wrong of us to follow God's ways, to experience the blessings of that, but then to look at ourselves as where that came from and not go, these blessings are happening because I follow the word of God. Yeah. You know, we're seeing God use us and do great things, and we don't go, wow, look at me and the way that I'm doing. You know, we go, wow, God, thank you for your word and the way that it's led me to see these things happen. Right, so we want to see things, and we want to also perceive, where did this come from? Who caused this? And it was God. That's where this came from. And you know, that's what he was trying to do with these guys. Look, Jesus, look at Jesus. Look at the law of Moses, the prophets. Don't you see that it's not just Jesus? It's the whole story this whole time, and seeing beyond what they were able to see. And that's what we want to do, is always be looking beyond what we're seeing at God behind it, Jesus behind it. You know, and the next verse says, this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. You know, this is in some ways almost a step further. You know, the first ones are hearing but not understanding, seeing and not perceiving. And now it's saying, you keep doing that, and your heart is going to harden to the point where you don't see anymore. You don't hear anymore. You come to midweek, you hear a sermon, and it's like you go home and nothing's different. You know, you read your Bible for a quiet time and you go about your day like you didn't even do it. You know, you have discipling time. You hear the scriptures. You see God do something in your life, but your eyes are closed to it. Your ears are closed to it. You know, we can have our hearts become calloused if we don't stay soft-hearted, if we don't keep our eyes, our hearts, our minds fixated on Jesus, on the cross, on our sin, our need for God, our desperate nature for forgiveness and for help, you know? For the road that we were on, that God saved us from, and the new road that he put us on. You know, we've got to make sure that our hearts don't become calloused. That we don't get to a point where we hear the Bible and we just stop listening. We hear it, but we don't do what it says. You know, you're growing in pride, growing in intolerance to being corrected, growing in, you know, not seeing yourself clearly, and then you're just no longer even seeing that about yourself, right? You don't want your heart to become calloused. You know, when your heart is calloused, you know, maybe you hear one lesson about prayer and you're like, wow, I got to work on my prayer life. And then a few months later, you hear another lesson on prayer and you're like, oh yeah, I needed to work on that. A few weeks later, there's another lesson on prayer and you're like, man, haven't we had like 3 lessons on prayer now? You know, and then next semester, you're like, it feels like we're always doing lessons on this. You know, it's like, well, how's your prayer life growing? Do you suddenly not need this anymore? Are you a perfect prayer? You know, has this, you know, but our hearts can become calloused because of different things, right? You know, and maybe for you, it's not prayer. Maybe it's evangelism. You know, maybe it's like, are we really going to talk more about sharing our faith? Well, have we saved everyone yet? You know, have you been in Bible studies this semester? You know, do we need to keep talking about this? Jesus kept talking about it. Yep. Having quiet times daily. When are we going to stop talking about that? Never. Because it's always a need, right? When are we going to stop talking about unity and being in each other's lives? Never. Because Satan is always working to ruin relationships and break our unity. So we're never going to stop talking about it. You know, as long as the Bible still says it, we're going to still keep talking about it. Right? Because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, and I love where Jesus says, look, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And so, guys, you got to make sure your heart never becomes callous to the Word of God. No matter how many times you need to hear that you're prideful, hear it. No matter how many times you need to hear, go make disciples, hear it. No matter how many times you hear, get with time with God every single day, hear it. Don't let your heart become calloused to the Word of God and to the things that Jesus teaches us there. Amen? Amen. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your ears. You know, a lot of this reminds me of the parable of the sower. And I think we think about this as a passage for non-Christians a lot, but really it's a passage we got to make sure applies for us as well. That when we hear the word, we make sure we're going to be the good soil. That when the word is preached, first of all, we don't close our ears or our eyes, we let it in. But then we let it be planted into the soil of our heart, and that our heart is going to be good soil. So that we produce a crop with it. Right? I just want to read the parable of the sower to you guys quick, and then we'll do some sharing. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. In Mark chapter 4 is one of the versions of the parable of the sower. And you know, this is one of the Bible talks I would do a lot, still would do. I've often thought of it as, you know, as we share our faith and study the Bible with people, Jesus is saying everyone's going to fall in one of these four categories. And that's true. And I'm also realizing more and more as I read this that this is also true for disciples. That even after you become a disciple, you still can end up falling in one of these four categories of how you respond to the Word of God. We want to be those who listen to the Word without hindrance, right? So in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word.'" Okay, so the word of God is being sowed. It's being planted. You hear the word of God, right? Some people, possibly in here, are like seeds sowed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Okay, so you got to understand that whenever the word of God is being preached or whenever you're reading it or hearing it, Satan is right there ready to just snatch it away before it really takes root in you. He's like, please don't hear this. Don't grab it. Don't take hold of this. I want to take it away the second it reaches your ears. The second this is planted in you. So you got to be aware. When you're hearing the word, you've got to grab onto it tight because Satan is trying to snatch it away from you. And so we could be like the path when we hear the word of God, but we're stuck in our ways. We're like, look, I already know this. I've already heard this. I don't need to hear this. I don't need to work on that. That's a path. A path is something that's worn in, broken in its way. This is the way that it goes. This is the path. You stay the way that you already are and you don't change and go a different direction. So whenever you hear the word, don't be the path. Be someone who's always ready to be redirected, rerouted, softened, you know, and be taken in a different direction by the word of God. Amen? Says others, possibly some in here, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That's scary, isn't it? And you know, sometimes we're in a sermon or we're at a service or, you know, and we hear a point and we're like, oh, that's exciting. I want to do that. That sounds good. I want to change this. You know, you're in a discipling time or you're having a quiet time and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to pray an hour a day for the next month or, you know, I'm going to share my faith with one person a day for this week. Or, you know, you receive the word with joy and you get inspired to grow, to change, to do something for God with your life. But you didn't really let it become a deep conviction. You didn't maybe pull somebody else in and talk through it or really pray about it or make a firm decision. This is going to be who I'm going to be, what I'm going to be committed to. And so you just get emotionally excited about it, And then as soon as it gets difficult or there's opposition, it just, the conviction was never even there to begin with and it's just gone. So we need to make sure that as you're hearing the word, you're making decisions, you're really digging deep down and getting the word deep in there and building strong convictions on the word of God. No, this is who Jesus is telling me to be. So this is who I'm going to be, no matter how hard it is. This is what I need to do. This is what I need to obey, no matter how difficult it is. And as you let the word dig down and become conviction, then you won't be like this soil. And then it says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You know, I don't even think I need to say much about this one, but you know, as a disciple, you hear the call to go make disciples, to go serve others, to be devoted to the body, to spend daily time with God, to get good time in prayer, and so many great things that we're called to do as disciples, right? And maybe you want to do those things, but then you get distracted. You're like, I think this maybe just needs to take priority right now. Or you start to care more about something else. You know, I know that's important. I'm a disciple. I want to do those things. I'll get to it. You know, but right now, school's just really got to take the priority. You know, I've got a final this week. God, maybe I'll have a longer quiet time tomorrow. You know, so let's just not talk today. You know, you got to make sure that other things are not choking out the word of God in your life. You know, this is the most important thing we've got. Heaven and earth will pass away. The words will never pass away. So this should take priority in our life. We're disciples of Jesus. We're the children of God. We need to really make the word of God the priority in our life. Others, who all of us are going to be, amen? Others are like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 50, or even 100 times what was sown. Isn't that awesome? What this is saying is that if you hear the word of God and you accept it and then you put it into practice in your life, you will go from being who you are to being 30, 50, 100 times that. You know that where you're at in maybe your humility, where you're at in your courage, where you're at in your patience, your kindness, where you're at in your zeal, your effectiveness in the mission, your relationships, that if you take the word of God and you really accept it and you say, this is true, I'm going to do this. And then you live it out. You'll start producing fruit. You'll see 30, 50, 100 times being produced from your life. People becoming Christians. People that have been Christians for 10, 15, 20 years turning around and saying, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for this brother, if it wasn't for this sister. You know, so many things can happen in your character through your life if you hear the word and you're the good soil. You know, I want to inspire you all to be the good soil. To follow the word, to listen to the word without hindrance, that you're not going to let anything, Satan, worries of this life, deceitfulness of wealth, or, you know, no root, you're not going to let anything take the word away from you. You know, I want to be a person who no matter what happens in my life, I follow the Bible. I follow what God says. I believe what the Bible says. I do what God says. I follow Jesus through his word no matter what. You know, and that's who I want to be. That's who I hope each one of you want to be. Good soils. You know, be listeners of Jesus. Be those who listen to Jesus. You know, Jesus, in John 1 says, was the word in the flesh, right? And as we're all following Jesus, we too should be the word in the flesh. That when people get to know you, they're getting to know the Bible better. That when people get to know you, they're getting to know Jesus better. Because you're putting the word in, and the word is what's coming out. That's who you are, that's what you believe, that's what you're living. Follow the word without hindrance. You know, I want to have some people share what they've learned and grown in the way that the book of Acts has changed you and helped you. You know, we've done a lot of lessons over this past school year. You know, we've had, from what I counted, 35 lessons from the book of Acts. Wow. Between midweeks and Devos, all New York Devos. You know, just to read some of the titles to you to remind you. You know, we talked about the way and how the church is the way because Jesus was the way. Other lessons. God's irresistible plan. The way of the church. How to garden. Bounce back stronger. Applause and discipline of an infant church. A fear that inspires. Follow Christ at any cost. What do you desire? Are you a learner? Move forward for his name. Empowered for explosive growth, the miraculous gifts. Overpower the enemy. Set apart to bring him glory. Hope to the hopeless. Bold moves make miracles happen. We must go through many hardships. The way of grace and unity. Follow God's plans. Have a righteous response to the word. Upsetting the world with the good news. What is your idol? Let's get to work. That was Mark's sermon. There we go. Let's get to work. Fervor for God's word. Unbreakable unity. Challenge Satan. Christ-centered drive and focus. Stand up for the truth. Facing trials with faith in Jesus. Because of this hope, anchored, and listen to the word without hindrance. We've had a lot of lessons from the book of Acts, and my prayer is that these have not fallen on deaf ears, but that every one of these lessons preached from the word of God have fallen on good soiled hearts, and that our ministry is never going to be the same because we've studied the book of Acts, that you're never going to be the same because we've read the book of Acts together. These are God's words, and you've decided to be good soil that's going to listen and put this into practice in your life and produce 30, 50, 100 times what was sown. Amen? So let's have some people just stand up and share how studying the book of Acts has impacted and changed you. Raise your hand if you plan on sharing. Cool. You guys cool just standing and sharing from your seat? Cool. Let's go for it. Sydney, you go first.
Trust that God knows what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
And that with faith, anything can happen.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool, go for it.
One scripture I'll just read real quick that really summarizes everything I learned. Acts 21, verse 24. It says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So what I really learned from this whole action was just to never, ever, ever give up, you know? Like, there's been a lot of times, and I see after the disciples' lives, I've been reading Acts, and like, no matter what they faced, they just never gave up. Like, they just kept going. They actually got stronger because of the trials that they went through. And there's a lot of times where I feel like I wanted to give up, you know? Like, I want to give up on school. There's times where I have those thoughts, or I want to give up on, I'll be honest, sometimes it's even, I want to give up on faith. I have those moments, you know, and just being real with you. I hope you guys can relate, right?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, it's like, God always, what he's asking me of me is just to never, ever, just don't ever give up.
Right.
No matter how hard it gets, no matter how down I am, and no matter what challenges I face in my life, just this attitude in this heart that Jesus never gave up on me. How could I ever give up on him? And so that's something I just want to apply in every area of my life. Always being a finisher, just finishing the race, you know. So, yep, that's what I learned.
Good stuff. There's somebody over on this side, and we'll bounce back. Mark, go for it.
Yeah, Carlos. I think the main thing for me, I was actually going to use that scripture, so thanks,
man.
Just I think it can be easy to make Christianity just a part of my life. Or, you know, I'm a student really passionate, and I host a Bible talk, or, you know, I do this thing, and oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. I think for some reason, culture, that's kind of how Christianity is looked at.
Right.
But I think it's so clear in the book of Acts that Paul's example was, this is my life.
Right.
I'm a disciple, and I go to school. I'm a disciple, and I play music. And so that sharing the gospel isn't just a part of what I do, but it's everything.
Yeah.
It's, and I love when Paul says, you know, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And so I think this is a call of fire for me. I can't look at my Christianity as something less than it is my entire life. Yeah. It's who I am. It's who God's calling everyone to be. And so just a really good reminder of, like, this is all that matters, and just to live life in that way. So, yeah.
That's great. Fellas?
Come on, man.
Go for it. Come on, man.
I mean, I just want to be up here. That's why. Don't worry. Let me fire with the guy. What I learned, that so that Paul, no matter what he faced, was confident that God was always with him. Do you remember the story of the apostles being in the boat? They were with Christ in the flesh and was scared. Imagine not seeing Christ and still knowing that he's looking to do his will through you, to live life to the full, both in good and bad days. What astonished me was not eating for 14 days, you know, like when he was like 2 days shipwrecked and stuff like that. He couldn't eat for like 2 weeks, something like that. The physical pain must have been, and the emotional or mental struggle that came with it. This leads to asking ourselves, are we willing to go through any type of pain in order to see God's will be done? Or do we go on our own will and try to acquire the least amount of pain and the most results? So stories like these tell us, great stories always has lots of suffering in them. Take Jesus' story, for example. How great do you want to make your story?
I don't know who's preaching next week. He's good. Jordan.
So what I learned, what I was just really inspired by, is Paul would go to different synagogues and would say, as was his custom. So like he would always go. And then he was there, and I don't know how many times he would just quote scripture. And it wouldn't be like one verse or two verses. And he'd be like, okay, I mean, just now, Isaiah says like 5 or 6 scriptures like about this, and this is how and this is how in depth and how much he was in the Bible, like how much he knew about it.
Right.
But it wasn't like, okay, I know the Bible, let me try to logic and Bible, just Bible.
That's awesome. Let's get anybody else. Matt, go for it.
Yeah, Matt, I remember one of the first sermons that floored me during the book of Acts was talking about if someone were to follow your example as you follow Christ, would they be faithful? Would they follow, what'd you say? Well, it was good. It's basically an example, if someone followed you as you follow Christ, would they be following Jesus really? And that was probably the biggest thing for me these last two semesters is the pace of my life, the example of my life. 1 Timothy 3 or 1 Timothy 4 is a set example in speech, life, purity, conduct. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, am I really setting an example for people to walk in my footsteps? And it was just that in combination with, I feel like a lot of these lessons hit me, and you know, one of the lessons that got me good too was the lifestyle of Paul was bold was usual, bold was expected. And I think I very much so, as I want to make a big difference in this world, I've quickly allowed myself to just become normal and to become comfortable, yet expect these great results. And that was just never God's will. And so I feel like these last two semesters, just looking at the book of Acts for me, was a call of, when it comes to following Jesus, to what extent am I willing to go and make that my norm? So, amen.
Awesome. Sean? Wow. That's awesome. Good stuff. We got like one more person or so. Hannah, go for it.
Sure. stuck out to me is probably the, like, I don't know who said it, but are you breaking unity? Or is this going to break unity, build unity, or break unity?
Right.
And, yeah, I just think that that is how, like, that first century church survived. Like, they were together, and I think just thinking about, like, every day, like, is it what I'm saying to this sister, is that, like, building unity, or am I spending my time in my room by myself? Is that building unity? Like, no, it's not. Because I'm one that, like, wants to be by myself all the time, and so just, like, really being out of myself and reaching out to people and just being open when I don't want to be, I think just challenging and, like, building unity in that way.
Good. Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing. You know, I think God has given us so many inspiring passages and stories in the book of Acts. And it's just so important for us not to just keep going on day by day, but, you know, to make sure that what we're hearing is really sinking in and becoming part of us. And then becoming part of our life and who we are. You know, thank God for the book of Acts. You know, that we have this account of the first 30 years of Christianity to look back at and to go, this is God's plan for his church, and that's who we are today. Amen?
Amen.
You know, that they were following Jesus so closely that they said, look, these guys are Christians. These are people who follow Jesus. These are the members of the way, you know? This is Jesus' ecclesia, his church, his set-apart group of people. You know, when the world looks at us today, if we're following Jesus' footsteps the way that these brothers and sisters did, then we'll be the way as well. We'll be the light of the world as well that Jesus has called us to be. You know, it's all about Jesus. It's all about our relationship with Jesus, and we can't have that without the Word of God. You know, as Acts closes out, I think it's a call for all of us. This is an amazing book that covers thousands and thousands of people hearing and then responding to the gospel. Some responding in acceptance, some responding in declining it. And it's, I think by Luke's, who wrote this, is wrote this design, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to close this out with one last example of, look, are you someone who listens to the message and obeys the message, or are you someone who would not believe and is not going to listen? You know, are you one of the people who has a good soiled heart? You know, and that when you hear the Word of God, you understand it, you perceive it, you hear it, you see it, you produce fruit from your life with it. You put it into practice. No matter what happens, you listen and follow the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Or are you someone who, when you hear the Word of God, are hardening your heart, callousing, closing your ears, closing your eyes, not hearing, not perceiving, and closing your heart to the Word of God? You know, we want to be people who listen to the Word of God without hindrance. You know, obviously, we've been very inspired by Paul. God used him in an incredible way. You know, what a great brother to look up to, and I look forward to meeting him in heaven one day. And, you know, it's incredible to see what he went through. And I think, you know, first we have Jesus as an example of, well, no matter what we go through,
right,
we're never going to go through that.
Right.
And then Paul followed in the footsteps of Jesus. And I even think you could almost say the same thing, right? Like, all right, what I'm going through, well, I'm not going through that, you know? When you read what Paul went through, and, you know, this was not a few weeks. This was a few decades. You know, following Jesus through intense persecution, hardship, opposition, and many, many victories. And so I want to just read these last two verses of the book of Acts. And I think it's a really inspiring close to this book. It's not the end. It's certainly to be continued. And it's been continued for 2,000 years and is still being continued today. And I'm so fired up to be part of the continuation of Jesus' church today. You know, we get to be his kingdom on earth moving forward for the gospel. So he's under house arrest, and it says in verse 30, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him boldly and without hindrance. He preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an inspiring close out to the book of Acts? Boldly and without hindrance, Paul continued to preach the kingdom of God and teach about Jesus. You know, and as we end our study of the book of Acts, we're not going to stop living boldly, preaching the gospel, and following Jesus, right? We're going to go into the summer boldly and without hindrance following Jesus. And I look forward to seeing the ways that we'll keep growing in adding to our ministry more brothers and sisters, but also growing in our own faith and walk with Jesus. And I know that based off of the scriptures, the way that God will use us producing 30, 50, 100 times what we see here today, will happen in accordance with each one of us being people who, when we hear the word, we listen, we obey it, no matter what. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Studying Acts has been awesome. And let's